Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 with me this morning, a very popular area of Scripture. And I'll just say this. Sometimes because of frequency of just something I'm familiar with, I try to avoid some of those things that are very familiar and thinking that everybody's heard that, amen. But I've realized over the years that not everybody's heard that. And that sometimes some of the best things that may be redundant for me or you, amen, is brand new to somebody else. And I remember when I heard it for the very first time, and I thought, man, what a wonderful story, what a wonderful blessing that is, amen, and how the Lord laid it out in Scripture. So today, if you've heard it before, I hope that the Lord, that you'll bow your head in your heart today and ask God to give you something brand new from something you've heard before, amen, in the passage of Scripture. And if you're here and you've never heard the prodigal son or the story itself or ever read through it, I know that the Word of God will be a blessing to you today as well. I'll say this, I've missed this during the time of announcement, so I want to make sure I get it in. We do want to have nursery out at camp, made much of it on Wednesday night. Still no one has signed up, so if you would, they were waving it in the back to remind me. And so if you're a lady and you could help us any of the nights at camp, take care of nursery. If you go back, the sign-up sheet is on the back media counter back there. Just sign up and do that. Help us. We do not, even though it's Father's Day, we still don't want to ask the men to go in there. Okay, and so if you would go back there, sign up, and do your preacher a solid, amen, and so that we don't have crying babies in the auditorium, and you can let some of the moms go in and listen to the preaching. Just sign up, take a night, especially on Wednesday night if you could. We want to make sure we have it for that night, all right? So if you could pick a night, sign up for that. Be a blessing if you would to them. I want to just say before I pray this morning, today is special to me because it's not only Father's Day, but it is my dad's birthday. Amen. And so, again, I just wanted to say happy birthday to my dad if he's watching. And if you're not, then what are you doing? Amen. And so, praise the Lord. Brother Ed, I didn't get to announce that, but many of you, I did in our class upstairs, and I almost forgot again. He let me know that Carly Stevens, now Caulfield, had her baby this morning, and I'll make sure I write that down for you to announce, but I appreciate that. What a blessing. Everything is healthy. The baby is healthy, and the family is good, and so what a blessing. A grandfather today again, amen, and so what a blessing. So here in the Scripture, we find a wonderful picture of the Father, amen, and sometimes we focus on the Son here in the prodigal son, as it is so named, but I just want you to start out with me and look at it. Before we read the entire passage and we pray this morning, I want you to look at verse 11 in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." The focus of the Scripture, I wanted you to take a picture, because a lot of times we focus on the one son, when really the focus and the picture that's trying to give in is about the man who had two different types of sons. And so today, if you would, I want to just kind of take a look at it. A lot of times, as for us, we miss the wonderful blessing that's laid out of this good Father here in the Scripture. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I do thank you for the good Father that you gave me, Lord. And God, the picture he was of the Heavenly Father, how he, Lord, loved me and invested in my life. And Lord, I thank you for that. I know that everybody didn't get that. So God, I pray today that you'd help us as we meet together and we look at your word. And you have a wonderful picture of a father who had a son that didn't do everything right, but he loved him, Lord. And a son that stayed and did all these things right, Lord. But his dad loved him as well. I pray, God, that today through the Scripture, that if there's somebody here that doesn't know the Heavenly Father, that he sent his son to die on Calvary and pay his sin debt, God, I pray that they would be gloriously saved, that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those of us who have received Jesus as our Savior, help us to be encouraged. Help us to be reminded to stay away from the hog pen and to live close to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Today in the scripture, my gift to you, I hope, will be a short message, but every time I say that, we always end up going long. So let's get in it. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. Look at verse number 12. We've read verse 11. Verse 12, and the younger of them, talking about the son, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to be a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I want you to see that he's in this far country, and a lot of times when we get far from what God has laid out for us, there's nobody around us. We think that the common man, and sometimes if you're not careful, I just want to make this point before we get to everything, that you know, God not only sent his son to die on Calvary and to pay for your sin and redeem you back into himself, but what Jesus did for you before he went home to glory was he planted what he called a church. He built his church and gave you a place, because this old world, listen, there are nice people and you may have had good experiences, but a lot of times when you hit bottom and you hit the scraping the bottom of the barrel, not always will you find somebody who will give to you. But the church ought not be that way. The church ought to be a place when people hit rock bottom, they can call home, and the father and the brothers will come running to help redeem, restore, and help, and be a place that always can be called for help. I do believe we live in a day and age that sometimes the prodigals that go out don't think that they can come home. What a blessing it is that we ought to have a church and love our people and love the brethren enough that when they get in the hog pen, if they really needed somebody to give to them, they could call home. They know that there are people that love them, and they'll come and help them. I want you to see here in the scripture, he says, and no man gave unto him. This is a desperate situation. It's a place where he's hit bottom. He don't have anything left. He's hit bottom to the place where he's got no place to turn. And he realizes that nobody else is going to pull him out of this miry place that he's in. He realizes he don't have any means to take himself out of this place. Boy, it sounds like me when I got saved. I realized I couldn't save myself. I realized I couldn't work my way to heaven. I couldn't do anything to be saved. There wasn't enough good in me to do that. And I realized that I needed somebody else. And I found out, listen, I thought no man gave to me. No man was willing to help me. No man could do that for me, but then somebody told me about Jesus. And that, I mean, the great giver, the Father God in heaven, before I was ever on planet Earth, long before the foundation of time, before he ever made Adam out of the dust of the ground, that God the Father realized that I was going to be helpless and hopeless without his son. And then before the eons of time, he chose me to be saved. He chose the world, every man, to be able to receive Jesus Christ. And he sent his son, the only one that could redeem a lost man. The only one that could ever save. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't be baptized our way to heaven. We can't be good enough to earn salvation. But there's a holy son that came from the holy father in heaven. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died and laid his life down and paid for our sin debt. Boy, every time I see this, that when we think about, now you may not have been like somebody else and you had to get scraping the bottom of the barrel. Maybe you just grew up in Sunday school and realized that there was a heaven and that there was a hell, and that the only way to get to heaven was Jesus Christ. From John 14, the way, the truth, and the life. You realize that no man came to the Father but by him. Listen, can I just tell you today, he came to this place. He came to a place in his life where he realized he was so far down, there was only one way to look, and that was up. There was no farther to go down, and he came to himself, the Bible says. Look in verse 17. And when he came to himself, you know what that means? That means came to his right mind. When he came to a place where he stopped running from everything that he had been taught, when he came to a place where he stopped trying to pursue his own will, because his will had brought him to the lowest point he had ever been in his life, he said, I wonder what trying the Father's will would be. He came to himself and it was like, well, my way didn't work out, so let me look for another way. And so here at the bottom place, he came to himself. And when he comes to himself, he starts to think about how it was when he was home. He comes to thinking about how good he had it. And then at the beginning, he doesn't talk about, you know, boy, I had my own room. Boy, I had my own things. Boy, I remember sitting at the dinner table and getting three squares. He doesn't even think he's ever going to be able to get anywhere near back to where he was. At this point, look at what he says. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He's there in the hog pen, and he's at the bottom of everything that he's ever had. And he says to himself, self, my daddy don't even treat the worst of his servants this way. He thought to himself, you know, I mean, he was out there in the world, and I mean, it was a dog-eat-dog world, and all the dogs had been eaten, and now there's nothing left to eat. And he thought, I got nothing left. I got nowhere to go. I got nothing. He thought back to his house. He said, listen, if my dad's servants that serve in the house, he treats them so good. He makes sure they always got something to eat, and they got a good place to stay, and they got no worries and no cares, because every day there's going to be bread. Every day they're going to get paid. My dad takes good care. They don't have to sweat the small stuff, because the Father takes care of that for them. Hey, wouldn't it be good if we as God's children just thought about Him, that we don't have to sweat the small stuff? If we realize that dad's got it handled. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I didn't think about whether the light bill was paid or not. When I was home, I didn't think about whether there was food in the cupboards. When I was home, I didn't think about where I was going to lay my head at night. I didn't think about what we were going to drive or where we were going to go or any of those things. I just knew that the Father had it handled, that all those things were taken care of, and that He was always working behind the scenes to make sure everything was taken care of, and I didn't have to worry. And I'm so thankful that now that I got saved and I'm on the other side of the spiritual things, do you know there was a time in my life when I worried about where I would spend eternity? Do you know there was a time that I worried about spiritual things and whether I could, I just worried about it. I was grieved in my spirit until finally I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, because the Father had sent Him from heaven to die on Calvary for me. I don't know about you, but I mean, you say, preacher, you're making a bunch of analogies. Just let me remind you here today that, well, I'm telling you, you know, it what's not of faith is sin. Be reminded, Daddy, that you ought to be somebody that is showing faith, not foolishness. You ought to be showing faith and belief that God can. You say, well, what if He don't? Again, then that's His plan. You say, what do you mean? I'm just telling you, I've learned this in the Christian life. God always comes through when it's His plan. When I make a plan and I want Him to get in on it, it don't always go my way. But I sure am not going to blame it on God. I'm just going to believe Him. I'm just going to trust Him. You say, preacher, I tell you, what do you mean? I want you to see, he at the beginning, there's some things that are said. I want to read the rest of this, and we'll go back to the beginning. He says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and he bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I just want you to see here that this is a wonderful exchange of wonderful repentance and restoration of this family here. But I want you to pick up some things. I want you to see that when he came, he says, Dad, I want you to give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want you to go back. Look at the scripture with me, if you would. Right there, he gets there in verse number 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. You know, I don't necessarily like exactly how he goes about this, but I'm just going to tell you that there is an inheritance that's earned, and there's one that just falls to you. All right? That means, in other words, that, you know, you ever had any, I don't know about you, but my dad's got stuff. Your dad's got stuff. And there are some precious things in this life when your dad says, before he passes on, he says, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I want you to have this. I want you to have this. You could use this, and it's just something he's been keeping for a long time, and who do you think he's been keeping it for? And when he says, you know, this is something for you, and I want you to have this. But you know what falleth is when there's no thought for the future. There's no successor or thought that I'm just going to hoard it until a day comes when we just split it all down the middle. Or the kids scrap and fight for what's left. You know, folks, I just want to remember, I want you dads to look at this and think about this, that at some point, he knew that this was his inheritance because it was his father's it was his blood. I'm his son, so it's owed me. You know, there's something wrong in today's world when daddies don't bring their son up in a way that they think that I'm part of this family business. This is mine as much as it is his. It's my birthright. Listen, you say, well, what? It was his older brother that was going to get it all. Well, why couldn't he work with his brother? Now, I don't know about you, but I got a little brother, and he never really was old enough for me to fight, you know. I mean, it wasn't much of a fight. It still ain't. Anyway, so, but I'm telling you, you know, I mean, every time I've ever had I had cousins that were my age, and listen, I'm just going to tell you, when we got in an argument and it came to blows, that didn't make us more distant. That brought us together. We worked it out. I mean, we threw hands at each other. That's what they call it today, right? They threw hands, and after it was over, we got up and talked it out and worked it out and went on. And listen, we live in a day and age now where if anybody throws hands with somebody else, I mean, that's like the worst thing ever to ever happen. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes a young man, the best thing in the world is for him to get punched square right between the eyes. Because he'll figure out, that hurts. And then he'll figure out, you know what, if I am going to fight, I'm going to fight over something that's worth something. Because we got a bunch of people that are willing to throw hands over nothing. Because they really never have thrown hands. They never really have had anything worth fighting for. I'm just going to tell you, listen, fathers, today I want you to realize this. Don't just take, just because God gave you a family, it don't mean that it ain't worth fighting for. Just because you married somebody and you had children, they are some precious investment and inheritance that God gave you, and it is worth fighting for. Let me go past that. If it's worth fighting for, it's worth dying for. You say, preacher, what do you mean it's worth dying for? I'm talking about nobody, not just defending your family. How about this? If it's worth fighting for and dying for, then it'd be worth living for. That means on a daily basis, realizing that, yes, you'd give your life to defend those kids, but why won't you change your life and live for them? Why won't you set an example before them that, I mean, in everything, in faith and in godliness, they would see you walk the walk and talk the talk and be able at the end of the day to say, boy, I saw Jesus in my Father. I saw Jesus. I saw the Bible lived out in his life. I watched. Listen, I'm somebody that can tell. Had never been witnessed to. He did not know the scripture. But when somebody did witness to him, he got saved and he was gloriously changed. And he didn't waste the investment of God that was put in him. He began to live for God. I remember, I've told the story before, but I can't help but tell it again. My dad was a trash man, and he didn't know what else to do. He didn't know what else the Bible laid out after he got saved, but he told the preacher, listen, I don't know who's picking up your trash, but I'm getting it from now on. I'll take care of the trash around this place. Because he didn't know what else he could do, but he knew he could do that. And then after he did the trash, he found out that they had buses at that place. And they were breaking down. Listen, anybody that's got buses, they have breakdowns. Especially old church buses. Amen. He said, preacher, I'll take care of that. And I did. I've got the blessing of knowing. And he showed worth in those buses. Because he didn't just go by himself. He would take me. Now, I didn't know how to turn a wrench or pick up a transmission or do any of that. But I knew, he said, hold that light right here, boy. And he would go and say, you're going with me. He wanted to teach me some things. Listen, you know you can't teach your kids if they're absent. And if you leave them in front of the, listen, I'm telling you, all your kids want to stay and play video games. That's what all of them want to do, okay? Now, and I know, too, we live in a day and age where stupid people pay them to do that for money. Okay? But that's not what I'm raising my kids to do. All right? Because at the end of the day, what have you built? 1,000 more followers? That watched you jump over hurdles and kill people online? Or race really well, what have they built? Do you think that down the road, all those people that are doing that, making a paycheck, are fulfilled by that? No. Listen, I'm just going to tell you. You say, preacher, well, they got to make a living. I agree with you. But life is more than making a living. Life is about passing something on to your children, instilling in them certain values, certain training, and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I will say this, listen, being a dad is hard because a lot of times I didn't want to leave and go with my dad to work. I didn't want to do the things that my dad was doing. But I'm so glad. Not only did my dad want me to be there, but my mama said, you will get up and you will go with your dad. I know it ain't Mother's Day, but you can tune in too, ladies. Being on the same page means that you realize that boy ought to become a man. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of the reason that we don't have many men left is because mama told him, just stay here, baby. You don't need to go out in that heat. You don't need to go work with your daddy. He can go do it himself. Folks, I'm just telling you, we need to come back to an old-fashioned mindset that when dad goes and does things, listen, the dad ought to be able to take you fishing. But that ought not be the only time you're ever with dad. If dad's changing brakes, guess where you ought to be? If dad's changing tires, guess where you ought to be? If dad's changing oil, guess where you ought to be? Dad's working on the house, guess where you ought to be? You ought to be there. It'll teach you some things. Besides the fact of being there to honor him and to see if he needs help with anything. Folks, I'm telling you, the reason we have the generation that we have is because we let them go. The father here has raised his son, and I will be honest with you. I believe, looking at the two boys, I believe he raised them both right. And this is where we hit the rubber meets the road. Listen, you can instill every good thing in your kids, and they will make their own choices when they grow up. You can teach them. The Bible says that if you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it says when they're old, they won't depart from it. It don't mean when they're young and dumb that they won't go do their own thing. There are some kids that are just like you are. You remember how you were? You couldn't be told nothing either. You had to hit a couple brick walls before you finally got it through your thick skull that it was God's way was the best way. So why do you think your prodigy or the apple that fell off of your tree is going to go do any different? By the way, reaping what you sow, that works with your kids too. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we come to a day and age where we don't think the Bible's real. Because the Bible tells us we're going to reap what we sow. It tells us what we live before our kids they'll go and do and take to access. But I am glad that this book doesn't just say those things. It also has wonderful promises about when I teach them right, when they're old, they won't depart from it. This book is a wonderful book that tells us, listen, there's no time. There is never a time that has gone so far that they can't repent and come home. You see, this guy's in the hog pen. He finds himself at the lowest point that anybody could ever be. And then he says, boy, I'm in a bad way. I'm in a bad way. I don't know. There's nobody going to help me. There's nowhere I can get any help. And he says, boy, you know, I remember back when I was just a boy. I've never seen my dad's servants ever go hungry. Can I just tell you, the servants of God, have you ever seen? And didn't Scripture tell some things about David, said that the righteous have never been forsaken, and his seed begging bread? Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, he knew where there was bread. There's bread in Daddy's house. There's bread back home where if I could just get back there. And he comes to this place, and I want you to see some things. He realizes that his father's servants have it better than he has it. Wouldn't it be great if we realized that, you know, those folks working out in the wilderness, out in the byways and the highways, you know, they came to themselves and they were like, we ain't got nothing to eat out here. So God sends them angels' food. And after they eat angels' food for a while, they realize that ain't as good as what God had given them. Could we just get some meat back here again? Could we get an old bird? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard to get something better than yard bird. They give them quail. I'm just telling you. He said, listen, angel food, that's angel food. Man likes chicken. Right? And God said, I'll shoot a quail over there to you. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, we laugh about those things, but listen, do you know even though God fed them with manna, they still wanted what God had prepared for man? Because manna was something that was prepared for an angel. Do you know God's given us so many good things and sometimes we miss it? Here he's prepared a place for him, and I want you to see he realizes. Then second, he realizes that his father would have compassion if he went home. He doesn't think his dad's going to have grace, and that's where most of us miss out on what God's best is. We think, and I think we underestimate how good God is, because we know that God will have compassion and he'll let us come home, but we don't think that God has the grace and mercy to really use us even after we've run off and gone out of the way. Do you know you have a good God who is graceful and merciful to sinners? Not only will he save you, but he will use you. He will put you in and plug you in. Now, you may not get to do what you could have done way back when if you never left home, but there's still a lot of work to be done around the house. And God would use you in a mighty way, and you can get a reward. I'm telling you, a reward, if you would just trust that God's not just compassionate, but God is graceful and he's merciful to us. What a great God we serve. Listen, I want you to see what happens. He realizes all this, and then he recognizes he needs to repent. I want you to see, he says, he talks about in verse 17, but then in verse 18, he says, I will arise. He talks to himself. This is what I ought to do. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Do you know if you knew what was good for you and you were far away from God today, that you would say, you know what, I need to go to God and say, God, I've sinned against you. God, the problem is not you, it's me. I need to repent and come home and tell God, God knows I'm wrong. Why do I need to tell him? It's good for you. That same God that you know will be compassionate and forgiving if you would just come in repentance. Now, we live in a day and age where people don't think much of repentance. They don't talk about that turning back to God. But listen, I'm going to tell you, God is a God that will not just meet you halfway. He's waiting for you to turn and come to him. Just like the father in the story, when he comes to this place, I want you to see it. He says, I'm going to repent. Listen, he had it in his heart. Look at verse 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. If you don't think that's repentance, that's repentance. Not only has he sinned, but he realizes I ain't even worthy. If you're here today and you think you're worthy to be saved, or you're worthy for God to use you, or you're worthy, boy, listen, you ought to repent. You ought to tell God, I'm sorry for being puffed up in my pride. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, the man that stands behind the pulpit, everybody, listen, I'm telling you, that from the smallest kid to the oldest sinner inside this building, nobody is worthy to serve God. Nobody's worthy to walk into heaven. There was one worthy, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he laid his life down so that the unworthy could have the blessings of God, have grace and mercy showered down upon them. We could come home and instead of having God say, go on down to the servants' quarters, he says, go on back to your room, son. Welcome home. Somebody paid your way. Somebody redeemed you back into us again. He's come and he's filled everything full. There's no sin that you can't come back to God from. If you come in repentance and sorrow, he said, I'm not worthy to be. Boy, wouldn't it be something if God's people remembered again that God was so good and he was worthy of praise, because we're not really worthy of being saved. We're just sinners saved by grace. He says, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He asks, Lord, let me be a servant. Dad, let me be a servant. Do you remember when you wanted to serve? You remember when you remembered you weren't worthy and all you wanted to be is if I could just serve God. Do you know, we come to a place a lot of times in this day and age where Christians, sometimes if you live long enough, you want to be served instead of serve God. You're looking for somebody to serve you. And listen, I don't care how long you're in this business of Christianity. You don't ever earn the right. At best, we're sinners saved by grace. We don't earn the right to be served. We're worthy of being his servants. Now, our service changes as we age. I realize that. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes we get puffed up in ourselves and we think, boy, I've arrived. I've come to a place where now I ought to be served. Folks, our desire until Jesus comes ought to be, let me be your servant. I'm not worthy to be a son, but listen, I'm so thankful. He lets me serve and he calls me a son. He welcomes me home and back into the family, and he says like he does here, listen, he comes to, look, it says in verse 20, he says, and he arose. Now, he had just talked it through before. Now, he comes to verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. See, he predicted the compassion. He just didn't predict what was going to happen afterwards. He knew who his daddy was, that his daddy would have compassion. He runs, he says, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Listen, instead of him having to fall down and listen, there was immediate, not just compassion, but restoration on the father's part. He hadn't asked for forgiveness. Dad had already forgiven. Wouldn't it be great if we had daddies that when our kids leave and they run out and go do something, instead of making them come home and apologize to you who are a sinner, if you had already forgiven, and when they come home, instead of having it, they have to stop you from the hugging and the kissing on their neck for them to go, whoa, 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 whoa. I ain't asked forgiveness yet. I haven't apologized yet. Oh, listen, that's all done. That's in the past. Don't worry about that. And they say, no, Dad, let me do this. This is for me. I need to take care of this. Can you imagine that transpired in this household, and he stopped his dad and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop, Dad. And he said, the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven. Wouldn't it be great when we realize that every time we do something wrong, even if it's against our brother and against somebody in the world, that we've not just sinned against our brother, but we sinned against heaven. He said, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto him, or unto his servants. Can you imagine this? I mean, every time I read this, I can just see the whole thing. He's already forgiven him. He's already on to restoration. And the son says, oh, stop, 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 Dad. I got to ask for forgiveness. Listen, I've sinned against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be thy son. And the dad, almost like he didn't hear it. Yeah, that's good. I'm so glad you feel that way, son. Hey, servants, come here. Go get him a robe. You see, when you realize that you need redemption and you need to repent, when you come back home, There's a robe waiting for you. Do you know what you're going to receive when you get to heaven? Something you don't deserve. It's a robe of white that will be given to the sons of God as they cross over into that holy city. White that wasn't because you and I were sinless, but because he's sinless. Robes of white placed upon us. I look forward to that day. He says, and he put upon him a ring. Now, there's royalty. Royalty always had a ring, that insignia, that they're in a part of the royal family. It was something that they would sign and seal things with. And he says, hey, I don't want anybody to forget who he is. Put a ring on his finger. You imagine getting home to heaven and being welcomed into home and, hey, get them dirty clothes off of him. Get him a brand new clean robe. Put a ring on his finger. And I know, and this is one of the things a lot of times we think, you know, well, Middle Eastern cultures and places, people take their shoes off when they come in the house. Here he was barefoot, and he wanted to make sure that he had something. So he said, get him some shoes for his feet. Get some shoes. Make sure his feet are taken care of. From head to toe, clothed and welcomed into the house. I don't know about you. I put down, I was trying to keep the R's, robe, ring, really cool shoes. That's what I put down, right? And then he went on and he said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Rest. Do you know when I got saved, what I found when I came to the Lord? Rest. I came to him restless. I came to him with worry. I came to him with cares. When I had faith in Jesus Christ, I realized heaven was my home. That eternity was taken care of. And I told him, I remember coming to God and said, God, I'm not worthy to be called your son, but I really would like to serve you. I'd really like to serve you with my life. For everything you've done for me, I would allow you, if you just let me serve you. And I remember in my heart of hearts him saying, son, if you want to serve me, if that's really what you want, that's in my will. Folks, you know every one of us have got, I mean, something God saved us to do. Otherwise, we'd be saved and in heaven. I mean, when he saved us, he didn't just send us to rest. He left us here to serve him. Really? So this, I can tell you today, my dad is saved today because somebody served God, poured themselves out, and came and built a church in my hometown and reached and reached and reached people until finally they reached my family. And his service there, listen, God didn't take him home. I'm thankful God didn't just take people home because, we'd never hear about the gospel. We'd never hear about what God has done for us. Can I just say this? There's another son in this passage of Scripture. But he doesn't picture the one that ran away. He pictures the one that stayed home. And he gets riled up because someone else is restored. And what he doesn't realize is he's the one that also needs restoration. Even though he never left home, he left home in his heart. You know, and you may be here and you may say, I can't identify with the prodigal. I got saved at a young age and I've never been out of church. But again, where's your relationship with the Lord? How close are you to him today? I mean, is it a daily walk with him? I'm in church and I'm, yeah, but that doesn't mean you're, your relationship doesn't need restoration. You know, you can sleep under the same roof and not have a good relationship with each other. Listen, if you're here today and your relationship, and there's ever been a time you were closer to the Lord, boy, I would want on Father's Day to be able to mark a day down on the calendar that I came. What a Father's Day present you could give to God if you'd come home today to him. I never really left. Yeah, but come home in your relationship to him. And maybe you're here and you're a prodigal. Maybe you're the prodigal that says here he was lost. Maybe you're here and you're lost and you don't know you're saved. You've been around church and you've heard about Jesus, but you've never accepted him as your Savior. Listen, what a Father's Day gift it would be for the Lord who sent his only begotten Son to come from heaven and die on Calvary to buy you back so that you could be a part of the family when you join the family by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a great day it would be. Every father in this room, your purpose that God made you for was to make your young people realize how good the Heavenly Father really is. And if you're here today, and you, like me, could say there's some shortcomings, there's some places I don't always show and show my young people, my kids, the love of God the way I ought to, boy, that's a wonderful reason to visit the altar and say, God, help me be the father that I ought to be to my kids. Help me be the father that I want to be for my children, that pictures the Heavenly Father who gave everything for me. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here today and you're lost, you don't know for sure that heaven would be your home. You know, Jesus came and died on Calvary and paid your way to heaven. And all you need to do is simply, like the prodigal, is come home and come to Him and say, I want to repent of the sin that I've committed, and I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Listen, he'll welcome you home. We can take a Bible and walk you through the Scriptures on how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. The alternative to that, and we didn't preach much about it today, but we mentioned it, that is the opposite of heaven is hell. And everyone who is lost in their sins is headed for a place called hell. But Jesus came and paid our way, paid for our sin debt so that we could go to heaven. If you're here today and you need to be saved, please don't leave without accepting Christ. If you're a dad today, I pray that you would do business with God. If you want to be more like the Heavenly Father, then make your way down and pray and talk to God about it. Maybe today, as a Christian today, there's been a closer walk with the Lord than you have today. Why don't you come and ask God to restore that? Say, God, I want to have a present for you, and I want to walk with you, and I want to restore that relationship. That's what God's looking for on Father's Day, I can tell you that. I'm going to pray. Let's stand to our feet. And after I pray, Brother Bert will begin to sing. Would you step out and come? You could come even now as we pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help folks respond. Help our men to respond. Lord, I pray that you'd help fathers to want to be the father that they ought to be. I pray you'd help our people to want to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father that they ought to. But I pray most of all, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, doesn't know that heaven would be their home, today would be the day of salvation for them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bert, would you sing? Just